All right. So we didn't get any new questions tonight. So if anything comes up in your guys' head, don't be afraid to blurt it out. If you have questions, Justin, appropriate, please. Nobody was paying attention to that. We just passed that down in the middle somewhere. Yeah, Jim's right in the middle. We'll hand that to him. Yeah. All right. So we've just got some questions left over from the marriage conference, the marriage retreat, whatever you want to call it, that we wanted to be faithful and follow up with, being as you guys are too lame to put any new questions in for tonight. Anyway, so we're just going to kind of burn through those. What? Or were you talking when I was talking? Oh, I'm sorry for being rude. I'm just joking. So.
You said anything that comes out is actually.
I guess I did say that, right? Don't pinch me. Jeez. I know. Yes, right? Acting like a child, treating him like a child, you know. Okay, so the first question is, how do you vision cast and dream together about the future? Have you ever stopped dreaming together, and what was the impact? How did you start dreaming again? So how did you vision cast and dream together about the future? Laura. Yeah.
I would push the button. I don't even need it. Yeah, you do.
I would say Will and I are both natural kind of dreamers and have a lot of big ideas, but the times in our marriage when we have not shared those or been able to get beyond where we're at is usually when we're in a season of just surviving. Okay.
I would say Will and I are both naturally kind of dreamers and have a lot of big ideas, but the times in our marriage when we have not shared those or been able to get beyond where we're at is usually when we're in a season of just surviving in crisis, and there's probably bigger problems at play than our, you know, it's hard to think about the future when your present is unpredictable or... So for us, it just, a lot of the times looks like it's pretty natural, like whatever we're doing, if we're outside or whatever, like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we did this or had this or built this or, you know, sometimes it's different ministries that we could have benefited from that we're like, man, that would have been cool if there was this, maybe, you know, and I think one big important thing for that is not shutting it down right away, like, I don't know about that, but like kind of letting that, giving that space to breathe and letting that... letting it grow a little bit. Yeah. Maybe the Lord never does
and
anything
cows.
With it, but allowing your partner to, your spouse, to have the thoughts and the dreams and see what the Lord does with it.
That's why we have a chicken coop.
and cows.
No, it's been good. Like I've been really quick to say no a lot. And so having to say no and actually thinking about, okay, like, why is she asking it? And is that, and normally, like, if it's projects, then, like, yeah, I think I can make it work. I can figure this out. Like, I mean, it's a natural thing, I think, as men to, like, okay, if we do this and this and this, and it could work out. But, but I think not to say no right away. And if it's no later, that's okay. If it's yes, then you know, you're doing it together.
I thought vision cast was like sight fishing for fish. Now I know what vision cast is. Okay.
We were joking. Well, we joked about the question because he's like, oh my gosh, look at these questions. We can't answer these questions. I don't even know what they mean. Because it's kind of millennial. Because I'm like, you know, vision casting is, I mean, honestly, if I were to say, how do you vision cast? I'm like, where do you want to go to dinner tonight? I mean, we just didn't, I never thought of like being purposeful envision casting for my life or for my marriage. To be honest, I never entered my mind. It wasn't a thing, I guess. But as I got to thinking about the question, I realized that because we both have followed the Lord the entirety of our marriage, been in ministry together, raised our kids together, I feel like the thing that we were the best at in our marriage was being in complete agreement about serving the Lord and our kid and loving the Lord ourselves. And we did a good job raising our kids. Doesn't that sound weird to say? But I'm so glad I can say that, because we were in agreement. It wasn't that I did everything right. It was that we were in agreement. And so because of that, I feel like the things that we support each other in our dreams was like starting our business, because he was sharing that with Wendy and Zach before they left. So that was a really cool phase of our life. And then something that Jim has always done in our marriage is listen to the things I longed for. And he didn't even know he was doing it, but like for Mother's Day in my 30s, he bought me a chop saw, and it changed my life. Because I always wanted to make things and do things, and he bought me that, and it was just, everyone's like, your husband bought you a power tool? And I go, yeah, I can't wait. I'm so afraid of it, and I can't wait to use it, you know? And so he encouraged that in me. And in a way, then, that brought something to life in me that I didn't really know was there. And so I feel like vision casting,
yeah, amen.
I still don't know if I buy it, I guess. I feel like God leads us. And as I follow him, all of my desires are going to be realized. And I love it when some of them come through our relationship. But all of them come this way. But somehow they come... they come through our relationship. And so I try not to look for them. I try to just be surprised by them. And I think that makes my marriage better.
Yeah, like, I think for us, like when we think of like the long term, the long goal, the long game, like at the end of it, we want to have a healthy marriage.
Usually ends up with me responding very quickly with, you married the wrong man.
And we want to have a relationship with our kids.
Which is not, I'm not saying it's a good answer. I'm just saying that it's usually something that costs $3 million and I don't have $3 million.
So I don't think I have lots of dreams, random dreams, and they're usually very short-lived.
But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day,
he won't buy me my cranberry farm, and like, but it's like I get all these like, we could do this, and he's like, but yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like, our vision and our dreams.
Thank you guys so much. We'll move on to the next question here.
To be walking with the Lord, we want to have a good relationship with them. Adults,
as wives, being submissive in all seasons of where our husbands are in their walk, career goals, etc. How does our submission not come off as being content with where our husbands are? How do we submit without condoning a life of not following his leading? As wives, being submissive, really it comes down to your husband is prioritizing work, getting his priorities out of order, and not walking with the Lord. How, as a wife, do you submit to a husband that is in that place without condoning the life that he's living? You guys should have talked on the last one. You guys should have talked on the last one.
Priority relationship with the Lord first.
Well, I don't got it, but the first thing that comes to my mind is for each individual person to have their priority relationship with the Lord first and foremost. And so as a wife, I've never been a wife, but you know, our relationship with God, the vertical relationship, comes first before our relationship even with our spouse, right? And so before any of us can really answer that question or know what the right answer to that question is, and really, honestly, I don't think any of us can really answer that for you, because it's very specific to your relationship, who you are, who your husband is, all the specific details in your life. But I guess really the only counsel I would have to offer would be to make sure that you are following the Lord, that you are in relationship with Jesus, in the Word, in prayer, in fellowship, and He's going to show you what to do. He's going to show you how to honor your husband, how to submit to your husband, and He's going to show you when you need to prioritize your faith and your relationship with Him over your husband's, I guess you could say, not following the Lord. You know, so He's going to show you when to honor Him and when to say, I'm going to church today, or I need time to pray or read my Bible or whatever it might be. So
I think you nailed it. Yeah.
There's a way to do both.
All right, we're going to move on to the next
one.
And
I would just say,
well done, sir.
See the Lord.
What if my husband,
for the details?
That's kind of the same thing.
I don't think we can answer that specifically. So that, I guess that would be my answer.
You just ripped it out of your hand.
Last one. I know they're going to hate for me to have the microphone. I know. It's like, I'm one of those people. Sorry. Anyway, I don't mind having the microphone in my hand. Something I want to bring up about that topic is for women is, I don't know if that person's in the room that had that question since these came up last time, but I want to encourage you if you feel like, wow, my husband is just not measuring up, and I want him to be like this, and this is what the Bible says he should be, and his priorities are all over here, and I'm following God so hard, and he just isn't keeping up with me. And I really think that's like the age-old garden argument, and I really feel like the enemy just wants you to think that there's some wisdom and something you're missing out on. And I think the most important thing for you is to obey God and submit to your husband and trust him that he is leading your husband where you can't see it. So the best thing you can do is to pray for your marriage, and you can find a girlfriend who loves the Lord and will pray with you for your marriage, and you pray for their marriage, and then you encourage each other as you see answers, and you begin to speak life over your husband. Thank you that you're a good provider. You know, I was just telling Sally today, I never have to worry that you're going to go to work, because you always go to work, and you take such good care of our family. You are speaking life over your husband. It kicks the enemy in the teeth, and then you don't get pulled down into that measuring of Amen. What men look like at church, or what men look like sound like on the radio, or you know what I mean? It's
all just, right, we'll move on to the next question here.
So don't let the enemy.
How do you handle your finances?
Okay, because if
who
your
budgets,
husband
pays
loves
bills?
You,
any advice on doing this together
and
Lord, well?
God's at work in his life.
So basically, how do you guys handle your finances at home? Who budgets? Who pays the bills? And how do you do this together and well? No, we're good.
Well, when we had Curtis Tractor, I helped out by doing the books, like QuickBooks. So,
yes, you're being honest.
So I did all that. And
am I being
sometimes
honest?
Turn in receipts, and sometimes he wouldn't, and then I'd have to try to find them. Yeah. As far as budgeting goes, we fall between winging it, and like when it starts to not work out so great, we are like, oh, we should probably sit down and revisit this. And sometimes we're like, have you looked at the bank account lately? I'm like, have you? You know, so we're not the best example of what you should probably practically do, but we do communicate about it. And
yeah,
what else?
We don't sit down and we have, okay, we, I would just say, most importantly, you should write a budget, okay? And we have, yeah, we did once. And we have done it periodically, but it's not something we sit down every month and go, okay, we got to go over the budget, and well, let's figure this out, and you know. And it's just not something that we do
who does your
regularly,
who budgets,
meticulously.
Who pays bills? Any advice on doing this together?
Which means it's working, yeah. So yeah, writing a budget I do believe is important. Who pays the bills? Typically, yeah, I mean she pays all the bills.
April wants to talk about this.
What was the rest of the question?
We've sat We've sat down successfully several times and sat down and had a good like coming on the same page. Well yeah, there's gotta be bribes.
Yeah, I mean, we have tried to do it together, and it just became a huge fight because I... No. Okay, so...
We've sat down successfully several times.
Yes. You usually buy me some chocolate or something to just, like... Yeah. But, in like, earlier on in our marriage, I took care of all of those things, and then...
And she tells me not to spend
any. When you were asking questions, you were... Yeah. Like saying I did it wrong, and it became a point of an argument.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Looking back on it now, like that wasn't the issue. I had a control issue over the finances. And for now, like I do pay all the bills. He makes all the money. And in terms of money, we have none. So.
Be very clear about your expectations on who's handling what. That's where we've faltered, is especially with running a business together, essentially. There's been times when it was like, did you send the invoice out? No, I didn't. You did, you know. And so it became clear that, okay, Eric was going to send the invoices out and handle all that because he was the one that dealt with the customers. So we had a conversation and communicated about how it was going to work best for our situation. And it worked best for us. Then I did all the computer work and basically just everything that needed to be done on QuickBooks, and he handled the rest. And so I think that's good to be very clear about that, because otherwise you're going to miss things, and or someone's going to overspend in one category or whatever.
Yeah, that's really good. And this is, again, probably, I guess we didn't do it. We haven't done this perfectly. We don't do it perfectly, but she typically would pay all the bills, has, you know, she pays all the bills, but she doesn't really like remember things real well. And so, but it's all like recorded in QuickBooks or, you know, in spent checks or whatever. But I remember everything, and I'll like look at the mail as it comes in. I'll be like, I saw this bill go through. Did you pay this bill? And she's like, I don't know. I'm like, how do you not know that? But my problem is when it's her job to pay the bills, she has a system that she does. I need to, rather than think of something, go, did you do this? What? Why didn't you do this? I just need to trust her, because we've established this system. And instead of coming in and going, what are you doing? Why is this? You know, and she can't just answer things off the cuff. Probably where I have gone wrong is I need to just trust what she's done, what system she has going.
I'll speak to that a little bit too.
And then,
you know, in our home,
you know, maybe, you know, periodically,
April doesn't work. She
monthly,
stays at home.
Bi-monthly,
she runs
whatever,
our household and runs
kind of
it
reassess.
Well. Not always perfectly.
But that's
What's
probably
that?
A mistake.
Yeah,
that,
it's mu-
that
very
I
much.
Made,
it's a lot more work than I do most of the days.
Maybe micromanage something that she.
But Eric, you said that just doing, trust so. Your wife, trust her system.
That's all helpful.
My wife's system drives me nuts. if I'm being perfectly honest. But she does it well, and it works for her. They're all with you. Everything's paid within the grace period, and we don't have any interest on anything, so we're set. But I like that you said trust your wife or your husband, whichever one. You know, we're all geared differently. And so we're not going to assume that every wife is going to be running the house and doing the bills and all those things. We all have to walk out our own salvation with fear and trembling and run our own house and manage our own house well. And that's not going to look the same. But with us, we have sat down and things go south, right? You're like, okay, we need to regroup. We've got so much going out. We've got this much coming in. I can't believe we're spending this much money. So it's important to communicate. You know, heard that several times, is communicate. Sit down, talk about your expenses that you guys know you have, the income that you have that you know you have coming in, and set realistic goals for your expenses and what you know you need to spend money on. And that's the other thing. I think our limit has probably moved from 50 to 100, but we don't spend any significant amount of money. And in the Bellingham household, that's $100 or more, $50 or more, without communicating to each other. It's at least mentioned, hey, I'm thinking about buying this, and if I don't get a, no, you're not, I'll probably end up going to buy that thing, and then apologize for it later. But very, very much so is we communicate our expenses to each other. It's important to communicate. If you don't communicate with each other, it's going to fail. 100% of the time. You're going to spend money, she's going to spend money, and all of a sudden you're not going to have any money, and you've got bills coming in, and you've got no money to pay them with. So trust each other and communicate is really what's worked for us.
Hey, Matt, something Laura and I agreed on real early on in our marriage is even though we weren't making much, I think I look back on my Social Security, you know, they'll tell you what you made from day one, you know. I think our first year we made $3,000 total. But we agreed we would pay God first for everything. And you know, I've always been told you can't outgive God, and man, that is so true. We've been so blessed financially. We started a business, and God just blessed that business, and we just so gladly gave Him, you know, the money that was His. You know, so any advice I would give would be for finances is if you're struggling at all, make sure you're paying God first, and then take care of the rest of the bills.
I love that you brought that up, Jim, and I was just thinking of this verse from Haggai. It says, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. And if in, you know, when this was written, the people were, they were not honoring God with their income, and it's like they would earn their money and put it in a bag, and then like it had holes in the bottom. You go to pay the bills at the end of the month, it's like, where did it all go? That ever happened to anybody before? Yeah, and that's exactly what he's talking about there is how when we honor the Lord with our finances.
All right, we'll move on to the last question here.
Perfectly our budget is
Matt,
or how perfectly
about
our communication may or may not be that
Matt talked about how you
to
talk to your wife
exceedingly abundantly
is
more
evidence of whether or not you
are
walking in the spirit or the flesh
in any given situation. So I think that's pretty good.
I believe this is also true for how we talk to our kids. Right. I often find that I start responding to my kids in a very spirit-led way, but as they push buttons after many hours, I seem to fall back on my flesh as my patience wears out. At this point, I usually just walk away until I can return with grace. How do you build spiritual endurance so you don't drift towards fleshly responses?
It's staying close, Jack. I mean, just having the time I ended up with this.
John 15. I mean, I think you guys talked about it earlier. I mean, staying close. Thanks. Just right there. It's staying close, guys. I mean, just, I know we were talking about young adult group. It's, the longer you have a relationship with the Lord, it's like, man, I'm like, it's like you feel like you know a lot less. And when it's just as simple as just abiding, like, God's so gracious and he's merciful and he's, Romans 3, like, even when I'm not faithful, he's still faithful. Like, that's just who he is. And I don't know, I mean, staying close to him, abiding. Having people, brothers, sisters around you that love the Lord, that want what's best for you, like you were saying earlier too. things you can bounce off each other, like if you need someone to talk to, having the right people to talk, not just what you want to hear, but what you really need to know. And so, I don't know, that's what I think about. I don't know if that answers the question, but staying close to the Lord, being in fellowship.
I think, along those same lines, I love that verse that you brought up. It's been a huge, I come back to it all the time. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's true for how you speak to your spouse. That's true for how you speak to your children. It's true for how you speak to anybody in your life. But also there's a practical element to that too. Of, I grew up in a yelling, throwing things, very volatile home. And so we didn't always receive the kind, patient, gentle, spirit-filled responses that a child should learn. And so I just didn't feel like I had a lot of tools in my toolbox when I became a mother. And I don't mean any disrespect for my parents. I love my parents. They're wonderful parents. But I, like Will said, like I sought out counsel from people that were just a little bit older than me, a little bit ahead of me, that had been through it. And I remember hearing some kind of challenging words from some older sisters in Christ. I remember Nehemiah was probably, I don't know, 2 years old or something, and I was telling him to do something, and Sue Durier was, I was having coffee, I don't know if anybody of you guys know her, but amazing lady, but I was having coffee at her house, and Nehemiah was not listening to me, and she said, you need to expect him to obey the first time that you ask him to do something, or you're allowing, anyway, she kind of corrected me, and I was like, you know, like, taken back a little bit, and I was like, no, actually, that's the right call. And I know the question was maybe more about how you speak to your children, but I think one, be patient with yourself and ask your children for forgiveness when you mess up, because you will. And man, that's been a really sweet thing in my relationship with my kids. Like, guys, I am so sorry. That was not right. We get these buttons pushed and then we act out in the flesh, and that's not on them. That's on work that the Lord needs to do in our heart, and we need to allow him to do that. But
I was thinking of a time when I was correcting my kids, and their bedrooms were kind of like down this little tiny hallway, and my oldest daughter always had the last word, like always. And I was standing in her bedroom door, not Allie, my oldest daughter, that doesn't live around here. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, she always had the last word, and I was correcting her, and I was giving her all the words. I was giving her all the good words. They were words God would have said to her, I was certain. And the door behind me just kept like, I was standing in her, the doorway to her room, and the door kept closing on me. And every time it would close on my on me. It would kind of bump me in the back, and she'd laugh. And so I said, you pay attention to me. And you just, I was just really, really, really giving it to her. And it just kept kicking, kind of hit me in the back again. She'd laugh again. I could hear Allie snickering in her room. I could hear Caitlin giggling in the other room. And I'm correcting her. And if she would just listen to me, her life would be so much better. And I was just tired of dealing with this situation. And she kept having one more thing to say. And that door hit me in the back one more time. And I pushed the door as hard as I could. And my foot went right through it. And I will never forget that, because I was never violent with my kids. I always felt like, Lord, help me speak good words to my kids. I mean, I'm third generation Christian here. I was raised by a woman that was so, so patient. And yet I still struggle with my temper with my kids, because I found myself feeling like, oh my goodness, I'm telling them, I've told them this 100 times. Why aren't they getting it? And it's just, children do childish things, and I am training them up, right? And just giving myself some grace and remembering this is not my final word on this subject to them. And that for them to be able to take what I say and make another decision and do it wrong again is part of their training, right? The fact that I'm immovable in my love for them and my wisdom for them, and I've drawn the line where you answer the first time, doesn't mean I'm a pushover, but it doesn't mean I'm ranting and raving like it's the only time and they have to get it this one time. But there was a hole in my door to remind me for a long time.
Romans 8 says, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. And I guess my answer would be, how to not drift toward fleshly reactions is, it's impossible. You can't do it. Just can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit, without being close to the Lord and the Holy Spirit controlling you, and with your mind set on the Spirit. Without that, it's hopeless. Be full of the Holy Spirit. Ask for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
And I like what she said, that she has to walk away. I think sometimes as parents we forget that sometimes we just need to step away from the situation. And at the end of the day, like, motherhood is so sanctifying. I mean, I was the perfect mom until I had kids. And kids have a really amazing way of showing you every single fault that you have. I remember one time specifically, the kids were yelling at each other, and I'm yelling.
All right, that's the end of our questions. Does anybody in the audience have any questions, Justin?
Yeah, and so
you said something earlier that you wanted to ask.
Motherhood is sanctifying, and it works so many things out of you.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to wrap up our night.
To be worked out.
Nope. No. That's going to wrap up our night. Right. Let's go ahead and maybe I'll have Jim, would you be willing to pray for us and wrap us up tonight? Not to put you on the spot. Have Jim pray, and then you guys will be dismissed.
Father, we just thank you so much for this evening, and people just would come and want to improve their marriages, and we know how important it is to you, Lord, families and marriages. We just pray that we just give them to you, yes, and we turn to you for every need that we have. Just thank you again for Matt and April for putting this together and being willing. Just pray that you would bless them and be with us this night as we go home. Thank you so much. Amen.